Okay, folks, it's 6:10 p.m. and we'll call the city council back into session from our recess. We're still in public hearings. And number four, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider an ordinance of the city of Harker Heights, Texas to change the zoning designation from B3 local business district on property described as 1.26 acres of land, more or less, out of the D. Houston survey, abstract number 395, located at 126 East Beeline Lane, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. And I would note for the council in discussion with our legal representative is that the full reading on that should be from B3 to B4 secondary and highway business district, which the way it's listed in your packet. And again, planning development director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. As you indicated, we are here before you tonight because the applicant is requesting to rezone their property on Beeline from B3 to B4 so that they can expand their services and provide a storage facility at that site. So the next slide should show the site plan, or actually the location for this rezone. And as you can see, it's at the corner of Beeline and Amy Lane. And in this aerial photograph, you can see that the existing building is a convenience store, and they have an empty field behind them. And it's in that field that they wish to place a storage facility. The next slide will show you a picture of it's the Go-Go Food Mart. This is this view from Beeline. The next slide is the view of the empty field from Beeline. That's Amy Lane to the left. The next slide shows the zoning of the area. And as you can see, it's zone B3, but it is surrounded by B4 to the east, and it's actually B5 to the south, which is a pretty intensive zoning district. It's not something that we would recommend. And in fact, the applicant had requested a B5 zoning, and we were able to discuss that with him and talk him into the B4 because that would get the job done for what he wanted to do. B5 is a pretty intensive zoning, and it's actually supposed to be for highways. And at the time, you know, I guess they figured Amy Lane was going to be a major arterial, but at this time it's really a collector. And so a B4 zoning is more adequate or more applicable for that particular environment. The next slide is going to show the existing land use map. As you can see, Amy Lane is a mixed-use corridor. There are commercial entities, there's residential and medium density, or single-family residences, and then medium-density residential, all in that same area. And of course, adjacent to this property is the Good Canal Park. So again, this part of town, being older, definitely represents a true mixed use, and Amy Lane is definitely a mixed-use collector street in the city of Harker Heights. The next slide shows the future land use map. And as you can see, this entire area was designated as commercial. So the proposed rezone still keeps it as a commercial entity and is therefore within the confines of the future land use map and the 2007 comprehensive plan. It is important to note on the next slide that a portion of the property is within the basically the 100-year floodplain is what it's called. It's now called the 1% chance of flooding, the 1% plain. The bottom, the south portion of that property is within that area. It is still developable, and when they reach the permitting aspect of that, depending on their site footprint, we will, of course, require them to meet our regulations as far as development in a floodplain. But the vast majority of the property is outside of that floodplain, so we don't feel like that's going to be an issue. It's also important to note that this part of the channel is part of our drainage improvement plan. And so it's my anticipation that based on the modeling from our engineer that floodplain should actually get reduced. And so it may pull that property completely out of the floodplain, but I haven't seen the latest version of that report, so I couldn't be specific on that. But again, we've worked with the applicant and identified that there is the potential for floodplain regulations that they'll have to meet, and they were positively responsive to that. On August 26, 2020, the P&Z heard this case and they recommended approval of this rezone with a vote of 6-0. Staff also recommends approval of this rezone request based on the following. One, that the proposed use and rezoning is compatible with existing uses in the neighborhood, as we saw that it's a mixed-use corridor, and in fact, directly south of them along Amy Lane is another storage facility, the Top Value Storage, which got a CUP a couple of years ago to build a metal building. Number two, the proposed use and rezoning would not likely have any adverse impacts on adjoining uses and zoning districts. Again, they're going from a B3 to a B4, but they're surrounded by B4s and B5s. So they're proposed, you know, the potential uses in a B4, should they not do a storage facility, are still within line with the zoning in the area. And finally, the Planning and Zoning Commission did unanimously recommend approval of the request, and so therefore staff does also recommend approval. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions, except thank you, Gary. I did leave out the notification portion of that. The flood map threw me off. I apologize. We did send notification letters out to 21 properties within the area, and we received one response in favor and no responses recommending denial of that. So now that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the council? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Molis, on the development here, for do they envision having the storage lot, I guess, entering and exiting onto Amy there, I guess? Is that the plan right now?
We haven't gone that far in the development process, but I would assume that, you know, even just for fire lane purposes, they're probably going to have an entrance on Amy and connect to the B-line entrance. That makes the most sense as far as customer service and probably meeting the fire code.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Ryder, are you trying to chime in there?
Yes.
Okay, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, a question for Mr. Molis. The store location, is there intent to continue to run the convenience store and also have a mobile warehouse project there?
Councilman Ryder, this is Joseph Molis. Yes, that's my understanding, is that they're going to maintain the convenience store and add the storage facility to their property. I don't know if they're subletting that out or if they're planning on running it themselves, but it's my understanding that both entities will be on that property.
So that was one of my questions. I was curious whether or not the main warehouse next door was a sublease, and if that's the case and we're changing the zoning, does he have to replat that to separate the two?
That's an excellent question, Councilman Ryder. Technically, in a commercial zoning, you can have multiple structures without having to replat. For instance, Market Height has several buildings, some of them leased, some of them owned, all within, you know, one large parcel or several large parcels. So it's not like residential where you have to have one structure per property. In commercial, you can have multiple structures on the same property.
Okay, so we'll follow all the requirements for developing that, surfaces and et cetera.
I'm sorry, if I'm understanding your question correctly, you're asking if they will have to follow all of our requirements as far as surfacing and so forth, and the answer is yes, that it is a commercial development, and that requires an all-weather surface for all of their parking and for their drives and so forth. So yes, they will be responsible for following our current regulations and requirements.
Will that roll over into the facility, the structure that's there now? Anything that may have to be updated based on that being developed in the back? You know what I'm saying? The building that's existing building right now, community school, is very old. So I imagine part of it was known way back when, but now they're doing it on the same property.
Okay, so Councilman Ryder, if I'm understanding your question or the gist of your question, the issue is that because a significant portion of this property is being redeveloped, does that require that all the property be brought up to the current code? And so that's a discussion that I'll have with the building official. What we've typically done is we have required that any new development be meeting the code. So if they were adding a wing to this existing building, then the wing would have to meet that development. But if it did hit that 50% threshold, then we would require the entire building to meet the new code. So they'd have to upgrade all of their electric, all of their plumbing and so forth. But because this is a separate building, we've historically not required that the original building be brought up to code until they remodel that building.
Okay, got you. All right. Well, thank you so much. That's all I had.
Any other questions from the council for Mr. Molise? Okay, hearing none, seeing none, this is a public hearing. Is there anyone to speak for or against this item?
If anyone would like to speak about this agenda item, please unmute your mic now. For the telephone callers, you can press star six to unmute your mic.
Okay, and we have none. I'll close the public hearing, bring it back to the council. Do I have a motion on item number four? Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jody Nicholas, place five. I make a motion to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to change the zoning designation from B3 local business district to B4 secondary and highway business district on property described as 1.26 acres of land, more or less out of the D. Houston survey, abstract number 393, generally located at 126 East Beeline Lane, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
The last part?
Based on staff's recommendation and findings.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to second, Mayor. This is Jennifer McCann, place one.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Okay, seeing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one, how do you vote?
Jennifer McCann, place one, votes yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three, how do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, place three, I vote yes.
Thank you. John Ryder, place four, how do you vote?
Councilman Ryder, place four, votes yes.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, place five, how do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five, I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item is item number five under public hearings. Conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas to change the zoning designation from R1, and again, as you see later in your packet, it's from R1 to R2 on property described as Kern Terrace, Block 2, Lot 5, generally located at 308 Randy Boulevard, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor and Council. As you indicated, the applicant and the representative are here tonight to request a rezoning from R1 to R2 in order to build a duplex at 308 Randy Boulevard. The next slide is a location map which shows you that it's currently a vacant lot, surrounded by multiple housing types in the area, and this is in the north side of town, where we see a lot of we're actually seeing a lot of redevelopment lately, and so this is another sign of that new activity. The next slide shows a view from the street, and you can see that it is a vacant lot. There's some trees towards the back of the lot. The next slide is the zoning, and the entire area is currently zoned R1 for the most part, but you do see some multifamily R3 zoning to the west of them, and then some R2 two-family zoning on Randy Boulevard along the north side. The next map is the existing land use, and as I indicated before, this is a true mixed-use residential development area where you can see two-family dwellings, single-family dwellings, and manufactured dwellings. That's what the purple indicates. And then, of course, the wider vacant lots. The next slide shows a future land use map, in which case the entire area is designated as mixed-use residential. And so the applicant's request to rezone from R1 to R2 still fits within that guideline of a mixed-use development. And so, therefore, the applicant's request meets the requirements of the future land use map and comprehensive plan of 2007. The next slide shows the notification map, and staff did send out 42 notices to the property owners within the 400-foot notification area, and we received no responses, affirmative or negative, on this issue. The Planning and Zoning Commission met on August 26th, had a public hearing, and voted 6-0 to recommend approval of this rezone request, and therefore staff also recommends approval based on the following. One, that the proposed use and rezoning is compatible with the existing uses in the neighborhood. There are duplexes on this street and in the immediate area. Two, the proposed use and rezoning would not likely have any adverse impacts on adjoining uses in zoning districts. And again, this is a mixed-use development, and one of the use that the applicant is proposing is a use that's in this area. And finally, the Planning and Zoning Commission did unanimously recommend approval of the request, as does staff. That concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Nicholas.
Thank you, Mayor. Jody Nicholas, Place 5. Just a comment. You had said there wasn't any responses. There was a denial. At one.
Okay.
They recommend denial of the request.
Where's that the next one?
That's the next one.
I'm not seeing it on this agenda item. It may be on the next one.
It's the next one.
No, it could be, yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Flip the page.
Okay. We got a lot of trees got killed for this package here. So, okay, Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Mullis, is the property owner or the representative here this evening? Are they online with us?
I would have to defer that to the IT director. I cannot see who is phoned in right now. The applicant would be Mrs. Edadina Helms, and the representative would be Mr. Jerome Gomer.
No.
All right. Well, Mr. Mullis, during the discussions at the P&Z, did they speak on behalf of their proposed development to the P&Z?
Unfortunately, Councilman Blomquist, I did not attend that P&Z meeting. I can get back to you on that. I can look at the minutes or listen to the audio. Historically, I would tell you that probably if they did, it was pretty minimal. This is a fairly cut and dry case with little controversy. And typically what I hear is we agree with what staff presented.
Okay.
But I will confirm that with you.
And my only question would be the same question that I normally ask along these lines. Did they just rely on the city's notification for this proposed development, or did they actually go around to their neighbors and talk to them at all?
And I don't know the answer to that. I would suspect that they relied on our notification. And as you can see in the existing land use map, there's a lot of vacant properties
right
there.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else from the council for Mr. Mullis? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, we have none. Close the public hearing. We'll bring it back to the council. Do you have a motion? Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, and I would like to move that we approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to change the zoning designation from R1, one family dwelling district, to R2, two family dwelling district, on property described as Ken Terrace, Block 2, Lot 5, generally located at 308 Randy Boulevard, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, based on staff's recommendation and findings.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember McCann.
This is Jennifer McCann, Place 1. I'd like to second that, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none and hearing none, I'll poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1, how do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, Place 1. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. I vote yes.
Thank you. John Ryder, Place 4. How do you vote?
John Ryder, Place 4. Vote yes.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5. How do you vote?
This is Jody Nicholas, Place 5. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Next item under public hearings, number six. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas to change the zoning designation from R1, one-family dwelling district on property. Hold on for a second here. Okay, from R1, one-family dwelling district, and you see later in your packet, it's to R1, rural family dwelling district on property described as Lot 87A of Lakeside Hills Section 3 replat, generally located at 11539 Orland Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. The applicant is here tonight requesting a rezone from R1 to R1R at 11539 Orland Drive, which is a 2.95-acre tract currently housing a single-family residence. And they want to do this in an effort to consolidate their accessory structures into a larger accessory structure, which would only be allowed in the R1R zoning district. As you recall, the R1R zoning district was developed for lots that were basically the ranchette, the larger lots on the far eastern side of the city. The next slide shows a location map, which shows that this is one of those lots. It's a large, mostly undeveloped lot surrounded by other large lots on the eastern side of the city off of Orland Drive. The next slide will show you the street views. You can see there's an existing R1 structure and there's an existing detached garage that's immediately to the left on that photo. The next slide shows that garage and then one of their accessory structures that's existing now. The next slide shows the zoning for the area, and as you can see, they are zoned R1 and they're surrounded by R1 zonings. However, as you may recall, we've had two other cases recently where other addresses on Orland Drive have received an R1R zoning, and that's what you're seeing here in the bottom left. The tan lots are zoned R1R, so the applicant's request is in line with other properties in the area. The next slide shows the future land use map, or existing land use map, sorry, and as you can see, it is a developed property with a single-family residence. It is surrounded by vacant properties and other single-family residences. The future land use map on the next slide shows this area to be designated as single-family residential, and of course, the applicant is maintaining that. They're just switching to the R1R, which allows for larger accessories and non-commercial agricultural uses. And so they're in line with the future land use map and the 2007 comprehensive plan. The next slide is the notification map, and staff did receive one response in opposition to this request, and that's the combined property there indicated a negative response, but they did not give a reason, and they did not make a presentation at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. And I will also bring up the point that they actually recommended denial of the previous two R1R rezonings on Orland Drive, and again did not provide any reason for that. So staff not having a good reason for why they recommended denial does recommend approval of this rezoning. And speaking of which, on August 26, 2020, the Planning and Zoning Commission did vote 6-0 to recommend approval of this rezoning request. So therefore, staff recommends approval based on the following, that the rezoning request is consistent with the future land use map. It is still maintaining an R1 designation as a single family residence. The proposed use would not likely have any adverse impacts on adjoining uses. Several of the adjoining uses are in fact R1R zonings, and again, these are large properties, so the impacts to neighboring properties tend to be mitigated because there's a lot of distance between them. And so staff feels that this request, despite the recommendation of denial, would have minimal impact in the area. And finally, the Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend unanimously recommend approval of this rezoning request. That concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, Councilmember Fontaine.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Mr. Moliz, I don't have a question. I just have a recommendation that I would like to see going forward. When we have a situation like this that the person just says a denial, he's got a record of putting in denials, I would like for us to reach out to them and kind of explain to them what it is exactly that's going on and why we make the decisions that we do. Because a lot of times they just see the marker goes up the post goes up, that there's going to be a change, and they don't understand. So it's an opportunity for us to continue to build our relationship with our citizens, just to let them know exactly what it is that we're doing, so that they have peace of mind. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else from the council? You hear none, this is a public hearing. Anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, it's a closed public hearing. It's back to the council. Councilmember McCann.
I'd like to make a motion, Mayor, to approve an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to change zoning designation from R1, one family dwelling district, to R1R, rural one family dwelling district, on property described as lot 87A of Lakeside Hills, section 3 replat, generally located 11539 Orland Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, based on staff's recommendation and findings.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I would like to second, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and poll the council. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jennifer McCann, place one. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place one. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
This is John Ryder, four. I vote.
Okay, Mr. Ryder, you're broken. Can you really state your vote?
Councilman Ryder, vote yes.
Okay, good. I got you as yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion passes unanimously 5-0. Item number 7 under public hearings, conduct a public hearing to discuss, consider approving an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, to change the zoning designation from R1, one family dwelling district, to R1I, one family infill dwelling district, on property described as Kern Acres Second Extension and Revision, Block 11, Lot 1, generally located at 605 South Harley Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, and take the appropriate action. Planning and Development Director.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. The applicant is requesting a rezone of 605 South Harley from its existing R1 to R1I, which, as you recall, is the single-family infill dwelling district, which allows smaller lots throughout the city. In an attempt to replat the property into two lots and put two smaller single-family units on this property. The next slide shows the R1 zoning area. So when the R1 zoning district was created a couple of years ago, they were geographically constrained to these blue areas. And so the applicant is requesting a rezone, and they're deep in the blue area on the north side of town. And so they are within that geographical constraint. But I just wanted to bring this up as a reminder that it's not just the north side of town. There's also sections on the south side that are also within the geographical allowances for the R1I zoning district. The next slide shows the location map. So this property is at the corner of West Ruby and Harley Drive, and it is currently an 8,945 square foot lot. And so the R1I requirements are 3,500 square feet, so they would have the property amount to split that tract into two different lots and develop those as they requested. The next slide shows you a view from the street. This is a recently demolished structure. There was a structure on that property that I believe the building official notified as a potentially dangerous and substandard structure, and the property owner voluntarily demolished the building, so it didn't need to go forward to the Building Standards Commission. And so now that property has been raised, the property owners are looking at redeveloping their property. The next slide shows the zoning for the area, and as you can see, they are in a mixed use area, as the north side of town tends to be. The current property is zoned R1, and All of the houses on Ruby that you can see on this map, and I do believe it extends to the vast majority of Ruby, are single-family houses. But there are duplex zone lots to the south and multifamily R3 zone lots to the south as well. That space between 605 and 123 is an alley. In the aerial photo, if you recall, it was a bunch of trees. So they're basically adjacent to the multifamily to the south. The next slide is the future land use map, which does call for a single family residential use, and the applicant is maintaining that use with the R1R, which is also a single family residential use. So they would be in compliance with the future land use map and the 2007 comprehensive plan. The next slide is the existing land use, and as you can see, it's single family and again, a mixed use area with single-family, multifamily, manufactured homes, two-family. So again, their proposed use is within the scope of the other uses in the area. The next slide is the notification map, and the map shows that there were 46 notices to the property owners within the 400-foot notification area. And I need to point out a typo in the staff report. I think it was written before we got all the responses back. We actually received two responses in favor of the request, not one, but we also received two responses in opposition of this request. On August 26, 2020, the Planning and Zoning Commission did not recommend approval of this rezoning designation. A motion to approve was proffered by a commissioner and seconded. However, it failed with a vote of 2-4. That being said, the property owner is moving forward to the city council and requesting that you look at the city, at the Planning and Zoning Commission's decision. And I'll remind you that per section 155.212(d)(2) of the Code of Ordinances, a supermajority or a three-fourths vote would be required to overrule the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So tonight, that would be 4 out of 5 council members voting in approval for this to pass. Gary, is there a slide after this? Okay, so again, this is the exhibit showing the R1I designated areas, and this property is within that. The next slide, I believe, is a close-up showing that the north side of town, and then the next slide is a rendering by the applicant showing the potential uses of the property. Gary, if you'll go back one, please. You can see that they've kind of superimposed two single family units at the corner lot. That's the vacant lot we were looking at before. The stop sign is kind of covering up the first unit, and then the second one is immediately to the right. The next slide shows their what they're gonna attempt to do if this was granted when they replatted the property. They'd be showing the subdivision of the property into two different tracks at that point, two different lots. And I believe that concludes my presentation. However, I will move forward and talk about staff's recommendation. So as I indicated before, the Planning and Zoning Commission did not recommend approval of this particular rezoning request. So therefore, staff has no recommendation as to council's decision at this point. And this is based on several factors. One was that the majority of the Planning and Zoning Commissioners expressed concerns about the intent of the R1I zoning district. They essentially felt that the R1I zoning district was to be able to work with the existing smaller lots within these older areas of town and allow for development of smaller infill dwellings. They felt that subdividing lots that would currently comply with the current R1 zoning into smaller lots did not meet the spirit of that rezoning district that was created. Two, staff has researched the creation of the R1I zoning district and cannot find any documentation to confirm or deny the P&Z's interpretation. I did include the staff report as the last exhibit for when the council approved the creation of the R1I zoning district. And as we went through that staff report, we didn't see any distinction about how property would be or would not be able to be subdivided into smaller properties. So because of that, staff feels like this is something that the council needs to give us guidance on so that we can move forward and inform the P&Z of the council's vision for the R1I zoning district, and so we can advise future applicants as to how the council feels about the utilization of this district. So because of that, again, staff does not have a recommendation, and we do seek your guidance because this will set a precedent as to how we discuss this issue with developers in the future. So that being said, that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mr. Marlise, Mayor Smith, I think that, you know, a lot of the discussion we'd had, and do you have a number of the lots so far since we had this newer zoning designation, how many that we've had that have become R1I?
Mr. Mayor, this is Joseph Malise, Planning Director. I do not have that number with me. It is not a significant number, I will tell you, but we have had R1I lots developed on the north side and the south side of town. But it has not been as significant as I had hoped when the development, when that zoning district was created. We're seeing more movement with the R2I zoning district, and I think that's more of an economic decision, but we have seen R1I throughout the city.
Okay, and, you know, in continuing that, I think that we've had other discussion, you know, that our minimum lot size for R1, that we increased that to 8,400 a couple years ago. And I think that the concern with us at that time while we did that was a concern with density. I think where the Planning and Zoning Commission's getting with that to subdivide this thing into two R1I from an R1, that you're increasing the density in the area, which is counter to what the intent has been going forward for the city as far as our planning and development.
Yes, that is correct, and I actually discussed this matter with the following the meeting with the chairman of the PNZ, and he expressed similar concerns about ramping up density extremely. Now, obviously, these older parts of town are more dense in general because they were developed with smaller lots in mind, but he felt that increasing the density dramatically by subdividing all of these properties would be detrimental to the city.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. A couple of things, Joseph. I spoke with the commissioner that chaired the meeting there at the PNZ, and prior to going into this meeting, your recommendation, staff's recommendation, was to approve this. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir.
So despite that, the commissioners, you know, debated it, had their discussions on their concerns. And some of the concerns, I think, with, you know, along the lines of what the mayor says with the density, and, you know, just because you have the room doesn't necessarily mean it you should make, you know, one large lot into two smaller lots and squeeze some more houses in there. But it drove safety concerns with traffic, adding more vehicles on that street. Also looking at the overlay there of that street, the whole street and the street in front of it were all R1 houses. So you're looking at taking something that's not there already and then putting in the infills, which kind of breaks up the symmetry of that neighborhood there. And as one of the statements that for recommended denial from Mrs. Tillman, you know, kind of alludes to that fact that, you know, it's going to break the neighborhood, cause other issues that she's concerned about. She's lived there a very, very long time, and I'm also concerned about that as well. So I do see merits to the debate that the commissioners had, and you know, just because it checks the box doesn't meet the intent of why we wanted to do this. This was, you know, originally, I believe, intended, you know, I wasn't on the council at the time when this ordinance was drafted, but to give opportunities to those smaller lots in order to build a structure, you know, if it was a mobile home going to an R1I or whatever the case may have been, but it allowed them to develop that property and improve it. So I would agree with the findings that the commissioners came up with in I would ask my fellow council members to chime in as well, but I think that, you know, we want to keep the conformity there with the R1s, even though R1I is allowed in that up in that northern area. I think it doesn't meet the intent as well. Thank you.
Councilmember Fontaine.
This is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I agree that it's not going to be a elusive area where everything is kind of dress right dress, but what I would like to see is for us, if you need more guidance, for us to go back to the table and workshop it, Mr. Malise, so that way we could give you the exact guidance of what we want this to look like, what we want our one eye to look like, because apparently it doesn't look like what we want it to, and the intent is not being met. So I too agree with planning and zoning that we need to drill more and we need to give it more guidance in order for them to be able to make the proper decisions.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Ryder.
Yes, Ryder. I'm looking at the existing land use map here, and it shows it's kind of a mixed use in the neighborhood. I think the intent on the owner is trying to justify the value of his development by putting those two R1Is. And I understand the concern by my council members. I have to agree. I think the intent originally was to give the ability for the ones that own smaller lots. In this case, it's an 8,900 square foot lot. I think it would be beneficial to do a development such as what I'm looking at on this plat that was written by the engineer to do a duplex there. There's plenty of room for a duplex, and I think you accomplished the same valuation as far as the development. But I do understand where the P&Z was coming from on this, looking this up based on our R1I intent. But I'd also like to try to figure out the highest and best use for the gentleman's lot. And the way the design is on this plat for this R1I, you could very easily get a nice size duplex, probably three bedroom, and you could have entries coming in off of Ruby on one side and Harley on the other. That's all I had. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember McCann.
I think I'm just reiterating what's being said, but it seems like a great concept that we could workshop, just not in this particular use. So I'd like to see it on the table at a workshop for sure, but as far as today, I just don't see it.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Mr. Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd just like to add, you know, this, you can't just, one size is not going to fit all the properties up there on the north side or on the south side where this is allowed, because, you know, in this instance here, in this case that we're looking for today, it's on a corner lot, so it's a busy, busy lot there on the intersection. You're looking to, add more vehicles, it's just more hazard. It's a little bit more of a safety concern as well. So that's something we need to consider, you know, when we workshop this, you know, for the R1I, and that would give, you know, better direction also to the P&Z so that they can, you know, make the right informed decisions, I think. So that's just a concern. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, we'll close.
This is Bernard Matthews with 605 Harley. I'm the property owner. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you. Please go ahead.
Hello. Well, thank you for allowing me to speak. Our original intent of the property was to actually put a duplex on the property. So ultimately, this has been owned for since the early 90s. And as the Planning and Zoning Commission had advised previously, the structure had been vacant for a while, and our intent was to take the property down and rebuild the duplex. But after working with that team and being able to identify the most kind of well-suited use for the land itself, it came to a consensus of, especially since we're looking to make a significant investment in both properties and building them from ground up. And there's going to have to be a leveling of the properties because that the water flow goes through some of that area for the property that's left, that's closest to Ruby. It was decided that it was probably the best intent to actually split the property so that way we can do the proper elevation and leveling to the land itself versus putting a duplex, which could cause foundational issues. And that's the reason why we took down the property as it was today, because of those foundational issues. And there's a older septic that we're going to have to remove from that property as well. And in addition to that, in speaking, and I think the councilwoman had mentioned this, we spoke to some of the neighbors in the area, and they didn't understand the R1I designation. And ultimately, they were thinking that there was going to be a convenience store at that property, which we're not. We're going to put two properties, or our intent is to put two properties that will fit the elevation of the area, make that significant investment, and be able to meet the need of the surrounding area in Harker Heights as that investment.
Okay, sir, do you have anything else? And does council have anything else for the speaker, Mr. Blomquist?
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Matthews, you said that you spoke with some of the neighbors. Did you by chance speak with Mrs. Tillman, who recommended denial for this development?
I did not. I just spoke with neighbors that were adjacent to the property and kind of in the area in which when I was there speaking to them about it.
Okay, so did you basically you just relied on the city to put out the notifications then for this proposed rezoning, is that correct?
I had mentioned to them, yes, and especially the property that's just across from Ruby that's designated as an R2 zoning and specified our original intent, and then as well as our new intent of doing the two properties. And based upon the area, they actually felt as if that would be better suited because one property in its driveway would actually face Ruby and the other one would be Harley. And so it would actually ease congestion because Harley is where most of the congestion is currently. So if we were to put a duplex on that property, both of those duplexes would actually feed to Harley, increasing the congestion versus where Ruby is less congested and it's not as much of a used thoroughfare. And in addition, that photo that you see there, my truck is parked at the corner, so the property map doesn't actually show the way that the corner actually fits for that land plot map. And it actually is less congested, just speaking to the neighbors and actually managing that property for a significant number of years now.
All right, thank you, Mr. Matthews. Mr. Molise, I have another question. For the rezoning of this property, it is posted that it is intent to be rezoned to R1I, correct, not commercial?
Yes, that is correct.
So there's, you know, if somebody's driving by and looks at the sign, it doesn't say rezoning commercial, so there's no convenience store going in there, is that correct?
Well, it would say R1I, and I would hope that if they didn't know that that was residential, that they would call the city and ask for clarification.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Okay, it's continued public hearing. Anyone else to speak for or against this item? Okay, hearing none, we'll close the public hearing. It's back to the council. Do I have a motion? Mr. Blomquist.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I'd like to make a motion to disapprove an ordinance of the City of Harker Heights to change the zoning designation from R1 One Family Dwelling District to R1I One Family Infill Dwelling District on the property described as Kern Acres Second Extension and Revision, Block 11, Lot 1, generally located at 605 South Harley Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Councilmember Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place 3. I would like to second that motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to disapprove the request. Any further discussion on the item? Hearing none, I'll poll the council. And again, this is the motion is to disapprove the request. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, how do you vote?
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I vote yes to disapprove.
Okay. Jennifer McCann, place 1. How do you vote?
This is Jennifer McCann, place 1. I vote yes.
Okay. To disapprove?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. How do you vote?
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three. I vote yes to disapprove.
Okay, thank you. John Ryder, place four. How do you vote? John Ryder, place four. How do you vote?
John Ryder, place four. Vote yes.
Okay. And Jody Nicholas, place five. How do you vote?
Jody Nicholas, place five. I vote yes.
Okay, and that is to disapprove, correct? Okay. And a motion passes unanimously, five to zero, to disapprove the request. Okay, time is 7 p.m. We'll go ahead and recess for 10 minutes. We'll be back in here at 7:10.